All right, we welcome everyone on this November the 8th, 2020, to the Wayne County Bible Center, and it's good to have everyone here in the building and everyone that is listening on the website. I hope everyone is having as glorious a day as we are here in Middle Tennessee, and we just praise Jesus for the blue sky and the sunshine and the color of the leaves, and just don't mention all the blessing. Don't miss all the blessings that God has given unto us. We are continuing our study on the Lord's Prayer, as we've been studying Jesus, and we're going to keep studying Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, same thing we've been studying in Luke 11, Jesus says this: "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Give us this day our daily bread. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Father, every time we get up in the morning, we need to say thank you, Jesus. Every time we sit down to eat a meal, we need to say thank you, Jesus. Every time the rain falls and we've got a roof over our head, Lord Jesus, you have provided and provided and provided. And forgive us, Lord, when we take for granted all these wonderful things. Lord, forgive me of my daily sin, my weekly sin, and I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'll take over. I pray to be cleansed by your blood as I confess the filth of my sin to you out loud, as your word says. And I did that, Lord, specifically throughout the week. I did that, Father, in that office a few moments ago. And Lord, I pray for an anointing of your Spirit. Father, we need not the words of a man. We need to hear what your word says to each one of us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll move upon us. And Father, in the quietness of this moment, what do we need to hear from you today? Holy Spirit, this is your time. You take over. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you say, Brother Leo, how in the world are you going to preach a sermon on this? That's pretty basic. We've got it. We understand it. And I want you to understand, as we look at this today, we want to look at, what am I supposed to think about when I'm asking God, God, give us this day our daily bread? What should my mindset be? Where should my thoughts go? And then we want to look at the Jewish background of this verse, because Terry is huge. It is huge. And when a Jew hears Jesus say this, his mind is going to go to one place in the history of the nation of Israel, and that's where we're going to go today. So never forget, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you're studying the Gospels, you are not studying Jesus Christ, the head and the authority over the church. You are studying Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. And he has come to save the lost sheep of Israel. And he came to establish the nation of Israel and the kingdom of God on earth, where he's ruling from Jerusalem. Now, after he rises again and goes to heaven and sends down the Holy Spirit, the church age begins. And then we worship Jesus today in the church as we are, as the head and the authority to the church. As Paul says many times, glory and honor and praise be unto Jesus Christ throughout the church, world without end. But as we're studying this, Jesus is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's teaching them how to pray, and he's teaching us how to pray. So we're going to grab one word here, Luke 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. We want to look not at the bread right now. We want to look at the word daily. So the pattern for prayer, the model for prayer that Jesus has given us is a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily prayer. Now, we wouldn't have known that until we got to this verse. He could have said, give us this week our weekly bread, our monthly bread, our yearly bread. But the Lord is not teaching us vain repetitions here. He's saying these requests, these needs, these acknowledgments, these testimonies that you're speaking unto God in prayer need to be done daily. I'm to have a daily prayer time. And I'm going to tell you something. I need to ask God to daily provide for my needs, because guess what? Every day I've got needs. So I've said this many times, and everybody says to me, Miss Patsy Pope's not with us, but she has shared this with me many times over many, many years. Patsy's told me, she said, you know, I really never heard a lot about the personal relationship growing up until I heard you. And I have for 36 years been convicted of God to expound upon the personal relationship between an individual and his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say to you today, and I guess it's redundant, and I guess it's assumed, but it's not only a personal relationship, it is a daily personal relationship. And so I just want to add that adjective to it. It is a daily personal relationship. So what I want you to understand, and what Jesus is saying here when he says, give me this day our daily bread, he's saying to the scribes, he's saying to the Pharisees, he's saying to those that go to synagogue on every Sabbath, there's more to knowing God than just going to synagogue on Sabbath. And today, it is more to knowing Jesus than just going to church on Sunday. So Jesus is expounding a daily relationship with daily needs, daily interaction, daily prayer, and daily cognizance of your relationship with Jesus. Go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to stop right now and have prayer for Dr. Joe Hall, and we're going to lift him up. Father, as I come to you right now, Lord Jesus, I'm praying your touch upon Joe. I pray right now, and everybody in this room is praying, and folks that listen on the website, I'm going to ask for their prayers. Father, I pray a miracle of healing. I pray this blood pressure, Lord Jesus, will come under control. I pray that you will give these doctors wisdom. And Father, we need a miracle of healing right now at this moment. I speak in Jesus' name the healing power of our God Almighty on the body of Joe Hall. And I pray, Lord, that this virus be removed. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that his blood pressure will stabilize. And I pray that he will be pulled through right now by your power and by your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people in this room are going to say right now, amen, amen, and amen. We pray your healing, Lord Jesus. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 22, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want you to understand something, my friend. The Lord is ready to help you every morning. The Lord is there for you every morning. His mercy, His compassion, His faithfulness is there every morning, and God is expecting you to call upon Him every morning. Lord Jesus, I need You this morning. I need You today. Give us this day our daily bread. Go with me to Psalm 23. Every morning, I have a fresh relationship with the Lord. Every morning, the Lord is available to me to help me. To help me make it through a day at work. To help me get through tests at school. To help me represent Him and live the life that I need to live to bring Him glory. Psalm 23 verse 6 says this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to understand something. We have an all the days of my life relationship with Jesus Christ. Cleo, the moment I get saved, I've got an all the days of my life relationship with Jesus. Not just a Sunday morning relationship. And I want you to understand, I believe 80% of the church has a Sunday morning relationship. They go on Sunday and they think that's it. I'm going to tell you something. I need God Monday through Saturday. And I need a double portion on Sunday. So all the days of my life. So when you're saying, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, I am celebrating, I am acknowledging, I am seeking God in my personal daily relationship. I've got daily needs, and He's willing and able to meet those needs. Let me show you one more. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Now I want you to claim this verse today. You need to claim this verse. In Psalm 68, verse 19, Ed Gardner gave this to me in Tampa, Florida, 30-something years ago. He was having his devotions that morning. He picked me up for breakfast. I was doing a revival for him. And he said, Leo, I want to give you this verse. And I've been privileged to give this verse out since he gave it to me. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us down with all His blessings. I hope you feel that way today. I hope you feel that way every day. And when you get up in the morning, you're saying, Brenda, you know, give me this day our daily bread, you know, then you can follow that with saying, because You're the God that loads me down every day with blessings and goodness and good things in my life. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If you get defeated very easily, and if you get down in the dumps very easily, and you get knocked down very easily, and you're a child of God, the devil has got you distracted. The devil has got you focused on the wrong things, because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this room and most of the people that listen on this website, we have been blessed over and over and over and above in abundance by God. I'm going to tell you, we don't just have enough. We got more than enough. And so when I'm asking Him for my daily bread, He's given me my daily bread and 200 pounds of T-bone steaks on top of that. So it's a prayer of petition, but it's also a prayer of thanksgiving. And it's a prayer of realization that God is with you and that God is taking care of you. So you don't have to go back there, but I'm going to read it to you. In Matthew 6:11, the Jewish Messiah says to a group of Israelites, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what would a Hebrew think when he hears this prayer request and this phrase being used in the model prayer. When in the world did a Hebrew hear about daily bread given by God? Okay. Where in the world did a Hebrew hear about daily bread given by God? And then what principles were they to be taught when they received daily bread given by God? So go with me to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. And the amazing thing about this prayer request, we're going today back to Exodus. Next Sunday, we'll be going to John, where Jesus says, I'm the bread that came from heaven. So this prayer request, right here in the middle, takes us back and then moves us forward. And that's why we got a part one, and we're going to have a part two. So, in Exodus 16, verse 1, it says this, the Hebrew children are delivered from Egypt, and they take their journey from Elam, and at the second month, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children in Israel are murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. God is so patient. He was patient with that bunch. He's patient with our bunch. He is so patient. Verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, I wish to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Now I want you to understand something. The Egyptians were very smart. They worked them 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, but they fed them three times a day and they could have all they wanted to eat. They could have all they wanted to eat. I studied this past week. And when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us all. We're all going to die. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain specific rate every day, that I may prove myself to them, and I may prove them whether or not they will walk in my law or not. So he's going to show his faithfulness to them, and he's going to prove them to whether or not they're going to obey him. Remember that phrase, a certain specific rate is what they were supposed to gather. Now go to verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commandment, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of persons in your family, and you can take them into the tents and eat them. And the children of Israel did so. Some gathered more, some gathered less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it of it until tomorrow. So, what's going on here, Brother Leo? Well, they've got God's daily provision every day. It's going to be enough. It's going to be sufficient. They're not to gather too much. They're to gather exactly what he told them. And that's going to be enough. And it's going to fill them. Now, they were to gather an omer. Now, an omer is equivalent today to 3 quarts. So they were to gather 3 quarts for every able-bodied man. If you were a child, you got less. If you were elderly, maybe you got less, but it was 3 quarts per person for every able-bodied man every day. So, what were they to depend on? Now, look at what the Lord says. He says, I am going to rain bread from heaven. They were to learn a total dependence on God. Lesson number one. Totally depend on God, Cleo. That's what we're to do. A total dependence on God, and they were to learn obedience and trust. Totally depend on God, obey Him and trust. He's going to provide it every morning, so I'm to trust that He's going to provide it every morning. I'm to gather 3 quarts and no more, so I've got to obey. I've got to gather 3 quarts and no more. I'm to sit down and eat it at one sitting, and then I'll be full, and I carry on the rest of my day. But what happened? Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. They ate some and stored some up. They left it in the pots. And it bred worms and it stunk. And Moses was wroth with them. And then they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun came up, it waxed hot and it melted. Now, the rabbis teach that the manna, and all manna means in the Hebrew is, what is it? You know, what is it? We don't know what it is. So, you know, it could have been named whatchamacallit. But anyway, the manna, the Hebrews taught, it was thin like wafer flakes, about the size of a silver dollar or larger. Now that's rabbinic tradition, we don't know, but that's what many of the rabbis taught over time. But I want you to understand that they were to get the exact amount, they were to obey, they were not to covet, they were not to fear, they were not to hoard it, they were not to not trust God. They were to get it every day, not store any up in case God didn't provide tomorrow. So the lesson is, I don't know if you're worried about the future right now, but God has taken care of us in the past, so He's going to take care of us in the future. And so that was a huge lesson that they were to learn, and they were to trust Him every day, and they were to count on Him every day. Now, let me show you how long this lasted. Go to Joshua chapter 5. Now in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, the scripture says this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. They have passed over the Jordan. They are in the promised land. And in verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day. Verse 11, they did eat of the old corn that was in the land that day that they found, and they parched it and made unleavened cakes. And in verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn that was in the promised land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit now of the land that was in Canaan. So how long did God provide manna for the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness? He provided manna every morning for 40 years. Now, is that not awesome, Terry? Every morning for 40 years. In all of their travels, wandering here and there. And He provided it for 40 years, let me get this right, in 42 different campsites. The children of Israel, during 40 years, they were either traveling or they were camping, and He provided it in 42 different campsites. So the first number, 40 years, every morning. The second number, 42 campsites. The third number, He provided for 40 years and all their traveling, all their wanderings, 42 different campsites, and God provided the manna every day for 2.4 million Hebrews. 2.4 4 million Hebrews. Every one of them got enough manna every morning. Now, I'm going to read it to you again, but let me show you how we know that. Go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. I took the middle. Some say 2 million, some say 3, some say as many as 6 million. But in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, it says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. About 600,000 men on foot, beside the children and the women and the elderly. And a mixed multitude went up with them of flocks and herds and cattle." What I want you to understand, when this column moved, it stretched back miles and miles as they were moving, depending on how wide abreast everyone was. So, you know, you can go 13 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles long. But what I want you to understand, when they say 600,000 able-bodied men here, they're talking about 600,000 men that did all the work, that were the soldiers or were, you know, physically able. It does not count the women, the children, and the elderly. And so they go off of that 600,000 number based on families, and they come up with about 2.5 million. So what I want you to understand is this. For 40 years, every morning in 42 different campsites, God provided manna every day for 2.4 million Hebrews as individuals. So the lesson of "give me the bread, Lord, the daily bread" is God's personal care for you. God cares for you personally, David. He cares for you personally, Brenda. You know, it's so often we lose God in the corporate mass. We lose God in religion. We lose God in 20,000 people are in church. I don't care how many people go to your church on a Sunday morning. He is a personal God, and he is the God that met the woman at the well, that called Zacchaeus out the tree, that healed blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road. He is the God that got Peter and James and John when they were fishing, that got Matthew at the tax receipt office. He is a personal providing God. So based on that scripture we just read about the manna, go to Philippians 4. "Give us this day our daily bread." Philippians chapter 4. Our God, for 40 years every morning, provided manna as an individual amount for 2.4 million Hebrews. Every day, 3 quarts or less, depending if you were a child, for 2.4 million folks every morning for 40 years. Philippians 4:19. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So my friend, I want you to understand something. If God can do that, Judy, me and you are facing today, He's got it. He's got it, whether He's going to send manna, rain manna from heaven, or march the quail into the camp, or part the Red Sea, or bring water out of a rock. He is going to provide for us. He is going to take care of us. And I love that word, all your need. The biggest three-letter word in the Bible, A-L-L, all. So when I'm saying, "Lord, give me this day my daily bread," I'm saying, "Lord, I'm depending on You today because You've taken care of me for 10,000 yesterdays, and everything I have needed, You have provided." So, if He can take care of 2.4 million Hebrews, He can take care of you and your family. And you need to call on Him because his mercy is fresh every morning. Give us this day our daily bread. Psalm 78. The Hebrews sang about this man. They never forgot it. And so when Jesus is saying, give us this day our daily bread, they're saying, man, he's talking about the man in the wilderness. And then we're going to see next week, he's going to say, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So you're going to find out next week, we're thinking about two things. Man does not live by bread alone, does he, Jonathan? That's what Jesus said. Man does not live by bread alone. But I want to praise God. We've got the physical bread and we got the spiritual bread. And we got the one God that takes care of it all. And we'll look at that next week. But I praise God that he's taking care of my body and my soul. Psalm 78, verse 23 says this. Though he had commanded the clouds from above, and he opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat by quail to the full. Now, he did all that. He caused the east wind to blow. He parted the Red Sea. And then look at verse 22. In all that he did, they still didn't believe in him, and they still didn't trust in him. My friend, is that you? Is that me? All God's done in our life? And are there times we're not trusting? Are there times we're not praising? Are there times we're giving up? Are there times we're doubting? You know, every morning ought to be a revival for the child of God that lives in America. Goodness. You know, there are people in this world who don't have a bathroom. They don't have indoor plumbing. What, 60% of the world doesn't have indoor plumbing? I got three bathrooms in my house for the longest time for just two people. We'd have to force ourselves to use the third one just so we wouldn't feel left out. I'm telling you. Sometimes we got so many vehicles, I got to go out there and crank one so the battery don't die because I'm driving three other ones. You know? Has God not done enough for us? You know, he did all this, and we read this. Look at what it says. Verse 23, he pours bread down from heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He caused the east wind to blow and the south wind, and he brought the quail into the camp. They sat down, they ate. Look, verse 29. They would eat every night until they were filled. And verse 22, they still didn't trust God. When you're saying, give me this day our daily bread, Lord Jesus, you're praying that in dependence, in faith, in obedience, and in trust. And I hope you're praying it with a spirit of contentment. What more can God do for the child of God that lives in America? And so they would cry out. But notice what it says in chapter 78, verse 23. He commanded the clouds from above. He opened the doors of heaven and he rained down the manna. Okay, you're going to study next week. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I want you to understand the Jews didn't have to work for the manna. The manna was a gift from God. All right, understand that. He opened heaven's window. They didn't have to go up there and open the window, Cleo. There's no way they could ascend to heaven and open the window. He opened the window. He poured it. He sent the blessing from heaven to earth. And you know all they had to do? All they had to do was receive it and gather it. That's all they had to do. And secondly, all they had to do was to rely fully on God to provide the gift of the man. So don't miss out on that. He's saying, I gave you the manna, I sent the manna, I created the manna, but you had to receive the manna. And guess what? Every time they ate of it, they were filled. Total sufficiency, total satisfaction. God provided and took care of them. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to thank God that He gives me every day my daily bread. I want to thank God that He's already given me my daily bread. I want to thank God that He is my provider, my sustainer, my preserver. He takes care of us and takes care of us and takes care of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 says this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Apollos, I'm not to think that I'm sufficient. I can't achieve my salvation. I can't work for my salvation any more than the bread from heaven. But my sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the law written on stones, but of the Holy Spirit. The letter showed me sin, so the wages of sin is death, but the Holy Spirit gave me life. And Apollos, just like we got the gift of the manna from heaven, we got the gift of the Holy Spirit when we open our hearts and receive it from God. So Christ, God, is our sufficiency. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8 says this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work of service unto God. So you say, Brother Leo, what is he talking about there? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, ye always having all sufficiency. I want you to understand, anything God calls you to do, He's equipped you to do it. Anything you need to do for somebody else, He's equipped you to do it. And I want you to understand right now, you not only have all you need in life, you've got more than you need in life from a material and physical standpoint. And I really believe the Lord looks down on America and He shakes His head because there are so many people. I want to tell you something. If you don't have enough today, next year you're not going to have enough. 10 years from now, you're not going to have enough, because it has absolutely nothing to do with your possessions, and it has everything to do with your spiritual mindset. It's a mind thing. It's a selfish thing. When you're saying, give me this day my daily bread, you're living in the moment. You're satisfied with what God's given you. You're content with your life. And you're praising God for it. And that's a reminder. That's what you need to think of when you're asking God for daily bread. I should have brought just one little slice of bread today. And I should have held it up, because I want you to understand. Hearing the Word of God today, eating one slice of bread and drinking a cup of water, you'd have made it through the whole day. You'd have made it through the whole day. You'd have had every need taken care of by hearing the Word of God, by praying, by eating a slice of bread and drinking a cup of water. You will have lived to the next day, and you would have had all you need. But we don't understand that in America. We don't understand. Well, so-and-so's got more now. Hey, I'm going to tell you the same thing Jesus told Peter. Don't you worry about John. His life and me, we're going to work out. Don't worry about what somebody else has got. You be thankful for about what you got. And you're never going to know what everybody else has got as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. People spend too much time looking at what everybody else has got. I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. When I get up tomorrow morning, fix that coffee, and sit in that swing, Jonathan, I got everything I need. And praise God, if I can get out of that bed and walk to that swing, I got everything I need. And praise God, if I can pick up that piece of bread and eat it, and I don't have a feeding tube in me, and Patty's having to fill that thing up and flush it out and put the insulin in, then I've got everything I need. Why does it take a catastrophe or a tragedy to make people appreciate what they have in this life? Why does it take you having to lose something to get your priorities straight? God help us. So I was studying this prayer this week. I was thinking how simple it was, how beautiful it was, how humble it was. Lord Jesus, just give me this day a piece of bread. And as long as I got you, I'll be all right. You remember the rich man, the farmer in the Bible? And man, he had that great harvest and he never asked God what to do with it. God blessed him so he could bless some of the other folks that didn't have a good harvest. You know what he did? Instead of going out and blessing those folks, he built more barns and he built bigger barns so he could hoard everything. And everything was about him. Everything was about his family. And he said, man, I don't have to work for 4 or 5 more years. I'm just going to eat this stuff, eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what the Lord said? You fool, you're going to die tonight. And that's why he died that night. If he hadn't had that attitude, he'd have probably lived a lot more years. You know why God's got you on the face of this earth? To be a blessing to somebody else. We live in the most self-centered, narcissistic. Here, I got my phone up here, but it's on silent. Three or four times during this message, I probably ought to put it on camera and take a picture of myself. You know, I want to fit in with all the cool kids. You know, look at me. You know? What you think, Cleo? I think I ought to do that. Yeah. I need to put it on Face Jam or Space Talk or whatever it is these people do. Patty and I were counseling several years ago, and this young lady was sitting with us, and she had a husband, and some guy had been doing stuff, and she's sitting there throwing all this language at me that what was he doing to her, Patty? He was direct messaging her. No, he was, what was it? He was snapping her. Yeah. I said, and I looked at Patty. She goes, he keeps snapping me and I don't want him to. And I'm saying, boy, well, that's bad. I don't know what in the world the girl's talking about. I ain't never been snapped in my life but by a turtle back home on the farm. This world's gone crazy. Somebody stop it, Ken. I want to get off. But anyway, you know, we live in a country. I mean, give us this day our daily bread. I want to leave you with one verse today, and it's out of the book of Acts, and it deals with the physical. We'll probably look at it again, but go to Acts chapter 17. Go to Acts chapter 17. I'm glad you remember that, Patty. I couldn't remember it. Snap champ. Is that what they call it? Snap champ? Oh, man. I'm going to be a snap champer. All right. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says this. Give us this day our daily bread. In verse 28, it says, for in him, in Jesus, we live and move. Now, I'm going to give you the whole Greek here, okay? It's for in him we live and we move and we breathe and have our being. We live and we move and we breathe and we have our being. I want to not only thank God today for my daily bread, I want to thank him, Cleo, for my daily breath. Everything we have, every good gift, every perfect gift, the gift of life, God wants you to live in this moment, today, being very grateful unto him, being very content in your own life, and being very offensive or outward in reaching out to help other people with all that God has blessed you with. And that's part of what you're saying when you say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You're saying, Lord, I don't need much because you've already given me so much in this life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to take a few moments before we close today. And would you count some blessings? What has God given you in this life? And just pray a prayer of thanksgiving and thank Him for the daily bread He's providing today. And thank Him for all the blessings, or some of them. List 5 or 10 to Him right now in the quietness of this moment, and simply say, I want to take time and thank you, Lord Jesus, today.